This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:17 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. So, construction clusters have been in the headlines for a fair amount of the pandemic here in our country. And yesterday's largest COVID-19 cluster, a construction site that had 428 positive cases, kind of had us wondering why this is continuing to happen. And we just wanted to see if maybe we could get somewhere close to an answer.
So we read the numbers every day, right? And more often than not, we're highlighting how many were workplace clusters, which is to say a fair number. Now, just looking back at what we've seen in June, we heard that throughout June, about 91% of cases in Selangor came from workplace clusters. 80 of those were industrial, 11% were from constructions. In July, Tengku Zafrul, our the National Recovery Plan Coordinating Minister, said that there had been 735 workplace clusters, record high cases of 60,000. And now, of course, this is the most recent. And I think the question is really that when we have SOPs that can be adhered to, why is it that we keep seeing this happen?
Yeah, and what's not working, right? Mm. And whether there are things or elements that aren't working that are actually specific to the construction industry that perhaps we're not addressing sufficiently. So I think that really is the question here. We want to know, what measures do you think could be taken at construction sites to curb COVID cases, especially if you are in the industry? We want to hear from you. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. And now we're crossing over to Dennis Tan, Managing Director of Ocknet Water Technology. Dennis, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Good evening, Dennis.
Yes. So, as we said earlier, construction site clusters have been a source of concern for months now, and then yesterday's biggest cluster stems from a construction site. Why is this continuing to happen?
I think actually construction site is already a very, very well-controlled place. But unfortunately, this is actually from the external factors. Because if you see, all the workers, majorities are staying in the CLQ, and this is a well-controlled area because we control the workers from in and out. So for them to have a chances to expose themselves for this kind of a thing is quite minimum. So that happened that last few days is very unfortunate because it's really unforeseen, and we believe it's from external, from those who has not stayed in a CLQ, from outside and subcontractors from outside and those trades specialists from outside that come in. I believe that because otherwise in the CLQ, the chances is not so good now because we control very well in CLQ actually.
So then could you explain the SOPs that are currently in place when it comes to construction sites, both in dealing with the people who are coming from within, as well as when you're talking about these contract workers and so on that move in and out?
Yeah, actually, CIDB has come up with very tight SOP and all this while. And then, in fact, 27th of July, which a few days ago, they have updated a new one as well. This is quite a comprehensive one, CLQ for both CLQ side and also from the site that people come in and out. Those standards on are like we measure their temperatures, we do the contact tracing to mice, etc. Everybody must have the mice, etc. to know where you're from, where you're about. So I think this SOP is quite well established already at all the construction site. It's quite well prepared, you know, under the watchful eyes of the CIDB.
And what perhaps are some of the biggest challenges, whether it's in construction sites or the labour quarters, actually adhering to the SOPs?
Well, challenges definitely will be because, you see, construction workers are in and out, moving, even though you are in the CLQ, but when your project finished, you had to move to another site, you will be going to another CLQ, and then the people are moving around. So challenges is, I can tell you that all industry will have challenges with this kind of situation, whereby, especially now, it's airborne, you know. So we know it's airborne. So this is more tedious, it's more difficult to curb these kind of situations. But I think the best thing is that we get ourselves protected by being vaccinated will be the best solutions, I believe, at this time.
So what happens when a construction site is identified as a cluster?
Then we have to stop the site. Definitely, CRE will ask you to stop work order. The whole site will be stopped. And then we have to do the sanitization, the clean up. And then all workers will be put under quarantine until maybe 14 days later. Then we confirm there is no case, nothing. The orders are clear, or they go and do the test. Only they are allowed to come back to work. Otherwise, they cannot come back. The site will be stopped, definitely, to prevent this from spreading further.
So what kind of training or guidance maybe has been provided to workers on how to protect themselves?
Briefing. Actually, we had to brief them every day without fear in a two-box meeting, because every construction site morning, we have two-box meeting, and then we had to brief them what to do and what not to do, and then important thing is to clean yourself, clean your hand, or these are briefing every day that have to be done at site. It's already in the standard SOP by CIDB as well.
And how easy is this communication process with the workers? We've heard, for instance, that language barriers can be an issue. How can these things be overcome to make sure that it's clear?
Well, I think language barrier is no more an issue here after so long, because those foreign workers, especially when you're here already for some time, they can converse quite well in Malay, in Bahasa Malaysia already. But Indonesian, definitely we don't have any issues. But Bangla now, a lot of Bangladeshi workers, they can speak very fluent Bahasa already. So I don't see any issue. We have a language barrier at all in the construction site. Not really.
And based on your experience, have there been barriers for construction workers to get vaccinated?
Definitely, because the government's directions is not very clear. Only today we know that the government's allowed those workers can walk in, you know. Otherwise, you want to get the slot is not easy. You can see a few centres that you can line up for kilometres for them to get vaccinated. Even in fact, that is very dangerous. They come in, they go in negative, they may come out positive, you know, so kind of station. So actually this is the difficulties that we have. Not enough center, not enough places for them to get vaccinated. In fact, we hope government can have mobile unit, can go to the site and then do it for them, you know, go to the site rather than they come out to the center. Because for them to come out center is a difficulty. They need to come in by buses. They travel from their workplace and then disrupting their work. So the best thing is that they can come. The kind of mobile unit can come to the construction site and get it done with that. That would be a very ideal situation, you know, instead of they move around.
So how
Especially we don't want them to move around, you know. That's the best way.
So what can employers do? What role can they play in getting their workers vaccinated?
Well, we are very, very careful on this as well. We want them to be registered. In fact, we have them, the HR department will register for all the workers and then under through CIDB or through any other means. We can do it. We do it. We register for them. If we want to make sure on the day come, they must go. They must go. And then we will push them. You know, we will make sure we get all the transportation for them. We send them over there. So this is for our own good, for our construction site good, because otherwise if any one of them get it, so the whole site gets stopped. So we want them to be vaccinated. In fact, we want them to be protected. Because protect them is also protect us as well, for the business as well. So it's no fun if they get it. You know, the whole job will stop.
So what other measures could be taken to ensure that, as far as possible, construction sites and quarters, in fact, are COVID-free?
Well, the SOP is quite well thought after, as I say. You have to follow the SOP. Clean yourself, come in, out, get yourself clear from this kind of crowded places. But we don't encourage them to go out to those crowded places to go and get their food or whatever. So we try to get them in instead of out. So it's very dangerous now. You allow them to go out and wandering around. So this is something that we do. We don't allow them to go moving around.
What would you like to leave us with?
Well, I hope, I think this is a very good opportunity for the government to legalize those illegals. Because your vaccination program cannot be successful if you leave those undocumented and not legal workers behind. You only vaccinate those legal workers. What happened to those they do not have document. So it's very good that today's newspaper announced that the government allowed those undocumented workers, those foreign workers, can even walk in. But they allowed them on, I think, 9th, 11th, and then 22nd, something. And by this month, there are two window for them to come in. But this is a very good opportunity for those undocumented workers to come in and then vaccinate. But my question is, will they come forward? If the government did not promise that they do not take actions against them, do not lock them out if they come out, I think they may come out. If the government say, okay, undocumented, you can come out. But I think nobody would dare to come out. So the government must have the will to say that you can come out, make sure you are protected also, but I will not take any legal action or any actions against you. So, and then this is the best opportunity for the government to legalize those illegals. Get them documented, put them into their list so that it's a win-win situation, you know. It's a win for the government because they can pay levy. Win for them, they don't have to hide and run. They are willing to pay, I can tell you. But the trouble is you don't want them to pay because they don't have document. They are already expired. They are termed illegal because their permit expired and they cannot renew or whatever reason. So these are the people that the government should concentrate and then make sure they are vaccinated. Otherwise, the whole program, particularly for the construction industry or for the plantation industry or the factories, it will not going to be successful because it's going to continue, God knows when. Because these are the people that you cannot trace them. There is no mice, etc. You can't trace them where are they about. But if the government can put them in a program and legalize them now, that will be a very good thing.
Dennis?
For any industry, not only for construction, for other industry.
Dennis, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Bye-bye.
That was Dennis Tan, Managing Director of Orkned Water Technology, talking to us about construction clusters and basically, I think, giving some insight into how exactly that comes about. Now, if you'd like to share your thoughts, send them our way. If not, we're heading to the news, after which it's Everyone's a Critic. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.